The average person used 5 TV services in Q1 2020, one more than in 2019. What's driving the increase? Well, it certainly isn't pay TV. To find out more about the gainers and losers, keep listening.
Week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media joins me as always. Hi there, Colin. How are you holding up?
I am doing very well, thank you, Will. The weather is beautiful, and I guess I'm kind of getting used to this stay-at-home thing. I certainly miss getting out to the gym and to the coffee shop and all of those things, but hopefully they'll be returning soon.
Hopefully. It seems like some of the data is trending in the right direction. It's certainly the weather has also gotten a lot better out here in Boston, so it feels a little cheerier anyway, which is nice.
That is nice. But this week for me, actually, this might be interesting to our listeners. I released a free white paper this week, which was sponsored by Metrological. And the subject of the paper is internet TV providers and D2C providers. They could be being crowded out by the big three, and we'll be talking about some of that data in just a moment. But it's get very difficult to be heard. And the subject of the paper is I went and talked to a bunch of SVOD and AVOD providers about how they're working with pay television operators to kind of fix the crowding out problem and help be heard and improve monetization. And you know how great that they were talking to me about how good the pay TV operators were as distribution partners. So anyway, that's available free from my website. People can just come grab it there. It's called D2C is Not Enough: How Pay TV Can Help Drive SVOD AVOD Success. And come and grab it from my website.
Sounds good. We'll definitely take a look for it. And speaking of SVOD, we wanted to cover some new research this week and that we both took a look at from Hub Entertainment Research. And I think you're going to get us started with some of the top line findings, and then we're going to dig into it. And then we've got some other things we will want to keep on the agenda today as well.
Right, I will. And the thing that really caught my eye, the number that really caught my eye, Will, and perhaps you'll cover some of the other data, was the increase in the average number of TV providers used by US respondents to Hub's survey. And it really did grow very sharply between 2019 and 2020. So they started measuring this back in 2018, and they said then we were using about 3 services, and it increased to 3.7 in 2019. And it really jumped up to 4.8 in 2020. And I should say that Hub survey was actually in field at the beginning of April, I think it was. So right in the middle of shelter in place orders. And so some of that number could have been driven by people being at home and having a lot more time to watch. And certainly they do seem to be watching a lot more. There was some Comcast data that showed people were watching one full day's worth of TV watching a week. So it looks like we are watching a lot more. But what got me interested about this number, Will, was where were the increases coming from? And there was some other Hub data which sort of gave us some hints. They said that they saw an increase in use of free advertising supported TV platforms went from 33% to 44% of people. So they said, they asked, you know, if you were using any of the free with ads TV platforms, and as I say, that increased from a third to 40% in just 1 year, which was really interesting. And that actually meshes very nicely with a conversation I had with Eric Opeka, who is the president of Cinedimes Network, Citadine Networks, and they have a bunch of D2C services. And he said that he had seen a 30 to 32% increase in use of their channels, and some of the channels were up as much as 50%. So certainly AVOD, I think, was a really, really strong component of that growth. SVOD as well, and kind of in two ways. Hub says that SVOD penetration increased from 72% to 78% between 2019 and 2020. So that's, a fairly modest increase. So strong, but in comparison with the AVOD growth, maybe a bit modest. But what's really interesting here is that I think what we're seeing there is we're seeing a deepening of SVOD. People are going back now and getting a second or third service. And in fact, that's what their data showed. They showed that the number of people using two or more of the big three, Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, increased 3% to 46%. But more significantly, Disney Plus, which of course wasn't in the last Hub survey in 2019, 31% of people said that they were using that. So I thought that was a pretty good indicator that people are actually doubling and tripling up on services as well. And the transactional also seems to have increased. So that's probably having an impact. And as we talked about last week, Trolls World Tour, that could be one of the reasons why people are going to transactional more. Not only do they have more time, but there's more timely releases there. And I guess my final comment on the number is what I don't think is contributing at all to the growth in the number of TV services. And in fact, it may be dragging it down. And that's pay television, virtual MVPDs, and over the air. Now, they're not all shrinking. Certainly, over-the-air usage, at least in the past, has been growing pretty well. Like Nielsen numbers says, over-the-air usage grew 3.8% between Q3 2018 and Q3 2019. So I think if we look, we might see a similar increase between Q1 and Q1. And we also see some growth in virtual MVPDs. FuboTV said that they increased the number of customers 37%, although just this morning we saw that there was a big drop in Sling TV subscribers, which was actually quite a big surprise to me. But really what's happening is that pay TV continues to lose, and Comcast lost 3% of its video customers in the first quarter. AT&T lost 4% from DirecTV and UVerse. So I really think that overall linear TV is driving that number down. But it's notwithstanding, that's still a pretty impressive game. 4.8 services per user. That sounds like a lot. But anyway, that's what I saw in the numbers. Did you see anything else, Will?
Yeah, that 4.8 does sound impressive, actually. That's up from 3 2 years ago, as you said, 2018. Now, we, of course, do have to keep in mind that the survey was fielded during this stay-at-home period, so certainly quite possible that people are hanging on to services or even subscribing to new ones at higher rates than they may otherwise have done. You know, the topic of how many services will people subscribe to has been, you know, pretty well debated over the past few years, right? There's been no shortage of people who have said that there's going to be, you know, a cap as far as the number of services that will be subscribed to. There are others who have felt alternatively that as great content gets distributed across more and more services, that people will be inclined to pick up multiple ones. There's also the school of thought around whether people's budgets free up a little bit if they cut the cord. If they're saving $80 or $100 on pay TV, might they then reallocate some of that to streaming? So, so the Hub research, I think, is interesting in shedding a little bit more light on that. There was one other thing actually that did seem higher than I would have expected. And actually, this might tie into your white paper with Metrological a little bit. I don't know if you want to comment on it, but Hub found that for pay TV subscribers who are using their pay TV provider's set-top box to watch streaming services, they tend to use it pretty heavily. 58% of this universe uses it to access Netflix, 61% do for Amazon, 57% for Hulu. And I thought that was actually, those numbers were actually really strong validation that pay TV operators who, again, are using, expanded the capabilities of their set-top boxes so that users can use them to tap into streaming services, that strategy seems to be working pretty well for them. And that wasn't a layup for them either, I don't think, given the strength of the Rokus and the Apple TVs and the Fire TVs and so forth of the world. The fact that pay TV operators seem to have carved out a value proposition in the streaming world to have their set-tops used widely by users to access these streaming services, I think is a real positive for them and also helps to create value and to mitigate cord cutting.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Will. And in fact, that's one of the things that Eric Opeka, who's the Cinedigm president, one of the things he commented when I was talking to him is he said it's almost a perfect environment for SVOD providers to market their products because, you know, you are appearing on a device where people are used to watching for extended periods. They're used to browsing around so they know where everything is in the interface. And it just, the extended usage really seems to rub off on the SVOD services as well. And that really seems to be justified by what you're seeing from the Hub data, that people really are engaging much longer with the SVOD services that are available through that box. So yeah, that absolutely fits with the treatise of that paper. And boy, if you're an SVOD provider and you're not working with pay TV providers, maybe that's a call to action and you probably should be.
Yeah. And so I don't know if you had anything else on any other commentary you wanted to add on Hub. There was a little bit of other data released this week that I thought supported, maybe even went a further step than the Hub research, if we want to shift over to that too.
Well, the only other thing I would say, Will, is my comment about pay TV, and I think it's worth, we're getting a lot of data coming in, and one of the things about the pay TV numbers that surprised me is that losses have increased. And normally when you have a situation as we're in right now, when you're in an emergency situation and people are stuck at home a lot, you know, you can think about depressions and recessions where people aren't working and they stay at home, they hang on to their entertainment services as tightly as they can because they've just got a lot of free time and that's where they spend some of that free time. That really doesn't seem to be happening this time with pay television. Comcast's losses accelerated from last year. Last year in Q1, they lost 121,000. This year, they lost 409,000. Over the last year, between Q1 19 and Q1 20, they've lost a million video subscribers. So really, things seem to be accelerating, and they're not benefiting from this normal effect that the recession and staying at home more seems to have provided to pay television in days gone past. And I got to tell you, Will, like, it's only going to get worse, I think, as the year goes on, because we still don't have live sports. It's not clear when that's going to return. And we, in addition to that, because of the halt in production, it's doubtful that we'll have a new fall television season because most of those productions have been interrupted. So, you know, the need to keep your pay television subscription around, I see dropping as the year goes, not rising. One of the things that Comcast pointed at was that they raised prices at the beginning of Q1. So with prices much higher and with the lack of new content coming into the service, boy, that's a recipe for, I think, accelerated losses going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. One offset to that, Colin, just to keep in the back of our minds, is that Peacock will be launching fully on July 15th. It's slowly being rolled out right now over the Comcast subscriber base, both for Xfinity and for Flex users. So I think your point is right on that, you know, production will be down, sports, who knows when it's coming back. But Peacock is being offered for no extra cost. And I think that actually is a really nice value proposition. It's only 5 minutes of ads per hour. I think it's a nice value proposition, actually, for existing subscribers. And they released, actually, Comcast a little bit of data themselves. There's no question in Q1 video losses accelerated, as you mentioned. But those who are still using the service seem to be using it more. They said that daily viewership per week per household jumped by 8 hours in April. That was up from 57 hours per week per household to 66 hours per week per household. So, you know, at least according to their data, people are watching TV more. They saw 40% increase in late night viewing between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., slight decrease in early morning viewing. Big jump in news, no surprise, 64% increase in news consumption. Drama followed that, comedy, as you expect, reality, action, adventure after that. So I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a mixed picture, Colin. They also said that streaming was up 35% on its network. That was actually a little bit lower. Conviva reported, did its Q1 State of the Streaming report this week, said that streaming hours are up 57% in Q1. That was really a result of on-demand spiking. There's not as much live going on right now, obviously, with sports. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a mixed picture, Colin. I think that people who are hanging on to their service seem like they're actually watching it potentially more. And you know, obviously there are people that are saying no, thank you, or we can't afford it, or all the above, and are dropping out at a higher rate.
Yeah, the one thing I will say to that, Will, is Peacock is available to broadband subscribers as well. And in fact, broadband subscribers can get the Flexbox, which is a really nice bundle of the most popular SVOD services, and Flex built right in. So that's all to the good. And so I think the majority of people who probably have pay television from Comcast also have their broadband. And the data I'm seeing is that most people consider broadband their lead service, not pay television. So although they are using it a lot, when they realize possibly that they can get Peacock and Flex as part of their broadband package, and when things start getting really tight, when things get really tough later this year, as people that have lost their job really start to hurt financially, I got a feeling that pay television is going to be in their sights as one of the most expensive services that they get, that they can possibly substitute other stuff in for. And you know, if Peacock's there on the free Flex box, then that could be a really interesting alternative that people just decide that they can go with.
It's an interesting point. I don't know what the penetration of Flex boxes is right now out of the broadband population. My hunch is that they have a lot of growth still to go. So, you know, your point about, well, you can get Peacock through Flex, I think there may be a fair number of broadband users that don't even have a Flexbox yet, so they wouldn't necessarily even think about getting Peacock that way. Whereas conversely, you know, going back to the data about how much people are using their set-top boxes for streaming services, I think if Comcast starts promoting Peacock aggressively in the X1 UI, it could draw a lot of people in there.
It could, and there is, you know, as we've talked about in the past, there is power in artful combination of services. But you know, when people start hurting financially, Will, they get very creative about saving money.
Yeah.
And as we talked about, huge increase in AVOD usage, Peacock's available for free to broadband subscribers from Comcast anyway. So, you know, I still think it could be a strong incentive to cut the traditional television cord, at least.
Yeah, well, we'll see how the Q1 numbers overall come in for pay TV, but all indications are it's going to be a pretty tough quarter.
It's going to be pretty grim, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that might be all we have time for this week, Colin, unless anything else from your side.
There is not, Will.
All right. Well, then I think we'll call it at that. So stay well, Colin. And for all of our listeners, thanks for joining us this week. And please stay well and healthy. And we thank you for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. See you next week.